have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And we are joined by the basketball brain trust of the boardroom here this evening, Robert and Tyler. And I'm very excited. I think our listeners are probably very excited to listen to both of you speak, because I feel like this is like the best time of the year to sort of pick your brains. Like, we're a mere hours before Illinois kicks off their tournament. So to start, I just kind of want like a general just like vibe check of where the two of you are at physically, because I know we've done some traveling here, but also just like emotionally where just like we're at right now.
Tyler goes first.
Yeah, you know, I'm in a pretty good spot. I was just putting together a post for tomorrow for the site on a little scout primer for Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can we call it Tyler has the scout instead of whatever?
Just I was wondering Tyler about has the scout.
Yeah, we'll just.
I didn't want to hold up.
I like it.
It's not a 17-page Craig opus, so. But
it's a good point. There is a certain brand.
But I'm open to suggestion.
Okay. But you're feeling good. You're feeling good. You say.
Yeah. So I didn't have the narrative issues that I had last year. I was a mess. I told Robert before the selection show that the one team I didn't want to see in our bracket was Loyola because of the whole narrative thing. And we talked about it here last year, and I didn't get, I know we had the 1997 thing, but I didn't get that sense. I didn't have that same response viscerally right away that I'd had last year. And then after digging into the numbers a little bit, I really like this matchup right off the bat. So I'm not gonna go too far down the road here. I'm sure we'll talk get into that. But I'm in a pretty good space right now.
That's great. I think with the narrative thing, I think the rule is if we were still in diapers when the game happened, you can't claim it to be like a narrative, like revenge game thing. Is that fair?
How old were you guys in 97?
We were putting a candle on the cake. We were putting a candle
combined
on the cake.
4 years old. Combined.
You, okay.
So I think some quick math would bring us to about one per person.
Yeah. So we don't have to belabor the point. I mean, for me, it's this. Let's see. In 97, I graduated in May of 96. So this would have been, I don't know, a couple years ago for you guys, like right out of school, everything felt fresh. I mean, we didn't know what was happening after Henson retired. And then all of a sudden we're in the tournament first year under Kruger. And not only we're in the tournament, we have this path to get to probably the Sweet 16, if not the Elite Eight. And we blew it. So it's really big in my brain as far as that. But I don't, I mean, Loyola was 10 in KenPom last year and Chattanooga is not. So, you know, the narrative is there as, you know, we are now 0-2 against Chattanooga in the history of Illini basketball. So I don't like that, but it's nothing like last year. No. Vibe wise, like I'd say the best way to describe where I'm at is I'm at this finally point. Like I have wanted to get to the Sweet 16. I have wanted to get to the second weekend for so long. We were robbed of the chance to even try to do it in 20. We were stunned to not get there last year. We're a 4 seed. And we've been wondering if we were a 3 or 4, and I just wanted to know the either 4, 5 seed we'd be playing or 6 seed we'd be playing of, okay, what is in line to get us over that Sweet 16 hump? So I'm in this, like, very comfortable place. Okay, now we know it's beat Chattanooga and then beat either Houston or UAB. Probably Houston, but could be UAB. I'm happy to, like, be resolved to like, okay, we're finally here. We have the table is set. It's just two simple games, win two simple games with Trent and Kofi and Plummer and everybody else, just win two games, and we hit that mark. And we know who it is and what it is. And so I'm in this very, like, okay, table is set, time to eat the meal.
I can get behind that excitement. Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Tyler. Go ahead.
One thing that kind of put my mind at ease, and I hope we see that, is the one thing that Underwood said during his post-selection show press conference was, we're going to let it fly. We're just going to let it go. And I really, really hope that's the team that we see, because that's the basketball that I want to see this team play. Because I know when they get the shackles off and they're running free and shooting free and playing without that without that anchor, we'll say, that sometimes if you feel like they're playing with, this is a great basketball team. And so I really hope he takes this team kind of takes that to heart, and that's what we see come tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah,
and we might also see, like, you know, we could possibly see three fouls called on just touch fouls that Big Ten refs won't call. We could see Kofi go up for his first three shots, get three and ones, and suddenly it's like, oh crap, like, if we get that, if we don't have to deal with the Big Ten like he gets murdered, if nobody can touch him, well, god, we're gonna dominate. So, you know, there's a lot of things that could go right. There's always that fresh start to basketball when the tournament starts, and, you know, it could go in a really, really positive direction.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, that would be really fun to just be playing Chattanooga's backup center for the last 10 minutes of the first half and just expand our lead to 20 or something like that.
We do not want D'Souza.
As little
amount of D'Souza as possible.
Yeah. And Robert, I thought it was really interesting, your article yesterday where you talked about that team over there. It's kind of confusing to me that we've seen this game now for 31 games. And we still don't know a whole lot. Like, we know a lot, but what we know is there are so many different ways this tournament could go for them because of just, we don't know what we have with Grandison. We don't know what we have with, like, which Curbelo are we getting. Like, all we really kind of know is, like, Kofi's going to give us 20 and 10. Trent's going to give us amazing defense. DeMonte's going to be a glue guy, and that's kind of it. Like, as amazing as Coleman Hawkins has been, say, against the Indiana game or the Iowa game, like, sophomores are still prone to have up and down games. So I feel like we're all very angsty about the fact that we still don't 100% know which team is going to show up and which guys are going to be playing well. Plummer is either, like, the best 3-point shooter in the world or passing up an open three against Indiana. So, yeah, exactly. So we're all like, what do we got here? We know this team won a Big Ten championship. We should maybe be feeling better about that, but at the same time, we don't know who's going to show up on Friday.
Well, I can – so this is sarcasm, but rest assured, I got a text from Carmen. He was going through the photos from the airport. He noticed in one of the photos that Grandison was wearing his backpack on both shoulders. Carmen –
God.
This means that Grandison is now 100% and will play. So I'm happy to report that our man on the scene has reported back that because Grandison is wearing his backpack on both shoulders, therefore his shoulder is 100% healed and he's ready to go.
See, that's
you know, I'm sure you can speak. I'm sure that's something at work that you go through, right? Like, it's like, hey, can you wear a backpack? Then you're good. You don't have to come
It's
back.
Not the wearing of the backpack. It'd be the putting on of the backpack to kind of lace your arm through that. So that's, I mean.
So can we get eyes on him putting his backpack on to make sure? Yeah. Because, I mean, Robert was doing his own sleuthing and watching him clap as we got announced and saying that's going to determine whether or not he has the strength to shoot a basketball.
Should we release this now? There could be some Chattanooga, like, assistant coaches that could be listening to this.
The Brett Bielema approach.
Yeah,
week,
like,
zero, Nebraska.
I don't know if we want to sort of be revealing, because if there's, you know, some like the some, you know, student manager that's assigned to listen to every Illinois piece of news and media. Could be.
Let's be honest. I don't think. Like, Tyler, I don't know what you think. I don't think he's going to play. Like, just the way we've seen him holding the shoulder, the way he you know, left his left arm in his lap and clapped with his right hand only. I just feel like he's still a ways away. And I'm not trying to like get you to give a professional opinion here, but like, I just have this feeling that maybe next weekend if they get that far, but this weekend, I don't know. I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic either, just because I'm a mechanism guy. And I went back and watched that play that he got injured on several times over and over. And it's just the force and the direction at which he took the blow. I first thought he broke his collarbone, to be honest. And I thought he was done. But I don't think that's obviously the case, or he wouldn't be out of a sling by now. So I'm hoping it's similar to what Trent had. And again, it is his left side, which is helpful. So hopefully they can, it'll be just one of those instability things where they can hook one of those harnesses up and he'll be good to go. But it's tough to know.
Yeah. Let's talk about something happy. Ask us a happy question.
I know Sam's been trying to think about it. John and Sam, duke it out.
I'll do a happy question. Robert, when you were talking about getting to the second round, you mentioned we needed to beat Chattanooga. And then I was kind of expecting you to say the word Houston. And you said either UAB or Houston. And I was really happy we didn't play UAB because I think they're actually a very solid team. Do you have any like thoughts on that game? Do you think like, I know we spent so long on our last podcast kind of rifting about the seeding. Do you think there's anything there that we're overlooking with UAB?
Okay, so because of, this will sound weird. Okay, so Chattanooga is the team name, right? Okay, but after that 97 tournament, we were all saying, you know, everybody knew Georgia was the worst three seed, and we were all thinking we could beat Georgia that year. I almost wish Georgia would have beat Chattanooga so that we would just, because we would have rolled over Georgia kind of thing. You know, it's hindsight and everything else. In a sense, like Chattanooga, Houston has really good defense, but they're a five-man team and you can wear them down. UAB has that like tiny guard.
This is a like Jelly Walker podcast. We are big Jelly Walker guys. Huge. For the next 20 days.
Until the second round.
Hours,
yeah. Oh, no.
I mean, how many times have we seen, what was the name? You know, Chris Likes did it in the Miami game, our last 1-3 loss in 2019. You know, we saw it from that kid from Winthrop. In
yeah, he torched us.
Where he just completely destroyed us. So because I'm scared to death of the tiny guard going off, I mean, I even put Xavier Pinson in some of that in those two Mizzou games where he took over. Like, I just so fear the smaller guard how stupid. Let me say something stupid. I kind of hope Houston wins. Like, we know what we have with Houston. I hate the wild card. That's the dumbest thing I've ever said on any podcast, but I'm putting it out there. Hot take.
There's a lot worse on here, Robert. Don't worry. There's a lot worse out on here that we've said. Don't worry. Go ahead, Tyler. Yeah.
I'm so confident in the Trent Frazier defense on small guards. I mean, that's the kind of guy that he eats for breakfast. So that history doesn't bother me as much if Trent has the assignment. It's just, you know, from a basketball sense, yeah, we've had that history, but Trent eats those guys for lunch.
You've completely changed my mind in the last 30 seconds, mostly because I want to run away from my take. So I am with you, and I am in, and go UAB beat Houston.
Well, Tyler, you're talking a little bit about X's and O's, and I know that your article is going to break it down, but just a little bit now if we want to get into just like the matchup in general. I know that they have the transfer from Kansas, a former top 40 recruit, going up against Kofi. They have the guard. I guess just talk a little bit of X's and O's in terms of like what you'd be looking out of Illinois from their first round matchup here, and because most of us have not watched a ton of Chattanooga hoops this season.
Yeah, I was surprised you guys were like rolling out the UAB hits takes, and I'm like, I haven't watched any UAB, but I have watched the film on Chattanooga, and I got to tell you, I'm going to be that guy. It's like I really, really like this matchup. They're basically a three man team. They have Malachi Smith. This guard who played with EJ Liddell at Belleville. He's their dude. He's going to get 20. He's 20 a game. He's kind of a Jalen Pickett type of player. It's a little bit size 6'4", so he could be someone that gives Trent issues, but I would still expect Trent to start on him. They've got another guard who's a good shooter, this David John Baptiste. He's the one that put him in the dance with that half-court shot in the SoCon championship. And then they have D'Souza, who is 11-7 guy, good shooter, obviously from in close, but he only plays 20 minutes a game. And I don't know if that's because he's a fouler or if it's just a conditioning issue, but he doesn't play a lot of minutes on the whole. So,
and I was box score looking on D'Souza, and it is a lot of just like, it, he has like three or four fouls in pretty much every single game. He's fouled out a couple times, so he might be the fouler where he only is in certain times. So let's get him, rack up those fouls from the start.
Yeah, right. So a couple things that I really like is one, as I've talked about or written about on the site a lot, when it comes to 3-point defense, what matters is not what your 3-point percentage defense looks like on from a field goal percentage standpoint. It's how many attempts that you actually allow, and that tells a tale, because teams are, you can't really, since that show, you can't really, you don't have much of an impact on if teams are making shots or not from the 3-point line. But if you can limit attempts, then that's what you're trying to do. Chattanooga is very poor at limiting 3-point attempts. They're like 270 something in the country at that. So they don't have length on the perimeter, which has given us problems in the past. So I like the idea that Trent and Plummer are going to have opportunities to let it fly, as Underwood said. The other big thing is Chattanooga is 275th in the country in 2-point field goal defense.
Yes, I was waiting for that.
Which tells me that Kofi's going to feast. And they're a decent offensive rebounding team, so I'll give them that. But they don't force many turnovers, so I still think that we're going to win the shot volume game. And I again, from a defensive standpoint, we have a defensive stopper at guard, and they don't have a lot of size out there. So from that standpoint, I really, really like this matchup from an Illinois standpoint.
I love that. Rob, I guess, Robert, like, as you listen to that and your fan brain interacts with Tyler's somewhat fan brain, but also like pretty objective brain there, X's and O's brain, are you going to like allow yourself to be like, yes, like this is a great matchup. Like, I'm going to predict a 12-point victory, or is there still just some of that little fear there, a little, you know, not full comfort there?
Maddie, when he was halfway through, I was like, well, what if it's like 51-19 at halftime?
Okay,
like,
so yeah.
My fan brain starts going like, oh yeah, like D'Souza, oh yeah, you get two fouls and we're back up center and they don't have, and Trent shuts down. Oh yeah, like my brain starts to go to like, you know, the Drexel game or whatever, where it's 12 minutes in, it's like, this is hilarious how, you know, now, you know, when Curbelo went for that nutmeg, it was like, okay, they know they're going to win, and now they're just trying to have fun kind of thing, you know. So I can easily get there with the Chattanooga game. I don't have this, because we're 0-2 against them or whatever, I don't have this, like, fear of them or fear of that being a close game. I'm actually pretty confident. I don't know how I'll feel tomorrow night when I'm writing the post, but you know, for now, I feel pretty confident about that game. My focus, because I'm not on the team, I'm allowed to look past Chattanooga.
Yes.
My focus has been on Houston, and you know, again, this Sweet 16 thing, I hesitate to even bring it up, but I mean, it's going to be brought up, and I'm going to be talking about it. I'm going to be writing about it. You guys know I started this stupid stat in 2009. Where I just said, hey, you know what Illinois hasn't done? We haven't had that kind of season yet where we either get an 8-win football season or we get a Sweet 16 basketball season. We just haven't had that year where it just feels good to be a fan that you go that far. And so I started tracking it. And at the time, I think there were 6 schools that hadn't done it with either football or basketball. And then there was 5, and then there was 4. And then once Wake Forest football won 8 games 4 years ago, it was down to just Illinois. Again, I didn't plan on that. I just picked a stat, 8 wins for 8 regular season wins and a basketball team that gets to the Sweet 16. And now it's just us. All the Power 5, you know, 65 different teams, 64 of those fan bases have had a moment where they're like, yes, in the postseason, we're good, except for Illinois. And it's been in my brain, and I keep thinking about it. And so that's my, like, I should care more about, like, how far that can this team go, but I'm so this week focused on get to the Sweet 16, win these 2 games and get there. It's just all I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, we would always talk about that in college, and we were like, not only was it not even a Sweet 16, it was no tournament appearance ever. So at least or at least no tournament appearance during our 4 years, which was just crazy. And same thing, no winning football seasons. Like every other Power Five school, just that's like a baseline of having a Sweet 16.
Yes, and that's the thing. It's like if freaking Wake Forest football can win 10, if Oregon State can go to the Elite Eight last year, like Oregon State basketball, like all of these fan bases have had a thing. And we just don't have anything. Like, we don't, you know, I wish I would have drawn the line at, like, deranked in the top 10 or something. Something that would have gotten us across the line last year. But when we lost to Loyola, I think I tweeted it later that week. I'm like, I hate to bring this up, but my stupid stat is still alive. Since 2009, it's still freaking alive, and it needs to die, and this is the chance. And so go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's – we can't escape that narrative. You know, you saw how instantaneously Seth Davis had Loyola, Chattanooga all the way to the Sweet 16 the minute the bracket came out. I know they probably get a little early, so immediately. I know they get the bracket probably a little early, so he had that waiting. But it's that, well, the Big Ten, Illinois and the Big Ten struggled last year, so it stands to reason that they'll probably struggle this year too. I mean, even though nothing that happened last year should have any bearing on this year. That's the narrative that, to me, we can't escape. And that's the narrative that unfortunately, from Robert's standpoint, we have not been able to shake.
Tyler,
again,
I actually literally was just going to bring that up. I know Seth Davis said like immediately, I have Chattanooga going to the Sweet 16. And then I think today, Maddie, you had sent Rex Chapman has him going to the Sweet 16. And I was just listening to you.
Jimmy Fallon doesn't though. Okay. I saw his bracket.
We'll see what President Obama has. But Tyler, I was listening to you like give this in-depth breakdown of how we match up with Chattanooga. And I'm curious for both you, Tyler, and Robert, does it like drive you crazy when you see these analysts who pretend like they watched Texas A&M Corpus Christi all season? And then like the second they announce the brackets, Seth Davis is like, oh yeah, Chattanooga Sweet 16, as if like he's been watching the SoCon every year. Cause that would like, given how close you guys are to this and like how much time you spend in it, I think that would kind of just drive me crazy. The whole like facade, the bringing in the NBA analyst for the tournament, all that stuff, just like the pretentiousness about like pretending they're so in the weeds and in the know about all this.
You know, and I'm not going to pretend that I watch more basketball than Seth Davis, but I certainly watch more Illinois basketball than Seth Davis. And again, I'm sure they had the bracket a little bit beforehand, but all these guys have to live and die by the take. I mean, you have to go out and say something. You have to say something, some sort of, you have to pick an upset in the Sweet 16 of that show. It's just the way the format leads to it. So, I mean, yeah, it bothers me, but again, it's when I dig into the numbers, because when I saw that, I'm like, oh, well, wow, that's maybe Chattanooga's really got something here. And then my first thing I see is they have more Quad 4 losses than they have Quad 1 wins. And I'm like, well, let's dig a little deeper here. And that's when I started, you know, doing my own research and you know, seeing what I see. And again, anything could happen in the tournament. I mean, they could shoot, make 15 threes or whatever, and we could lose. But you know, in this situation, I'm pretty comfortable with the matchup situation, not acknowledging that anything can happen in this tournament. So
that's what makes it so much fun. Yeah, I know I was so angry when Wally Szczerbiak last year had Loyola upsetting Illinois in the round of 32, and I said there's no way. So that one hurt, but yeah, it definitely does invalidate the amount of like work that people who actually like cover the team, like they know their stuff. But I understand that in our world of takes, like you kind of have to just say something.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about it, like covering college basketball is so much more difficult than covering the NBA when there's 358 teams versus 30 teams, and the 30 teams have so much less turnover year over year than the, like, Illinois loses Io. That's just such a different team than it was a year ago. But everyone's like, oh, same team every year, same narratives, we're going to lose, whatever. But I guess we've kind of talked through Chattanooga. Maybe it should be a good time for us to talk through Houston, because I definitely have my reservations. I know I've felt a little better over the past week hearing Robert say he's not really that concerned about Houston, that's who he wanted, or other people saying, like, that's a good matchup. And I think maybe with their roster, it might be a good matchup. I would say there are certain things that give me pause, one of them being how slow of a tempo team Houston is. I think they're 333rd in the nation with 64 possessions. That just screams Loyola to me, not to mention the fact that they're fourth in KenPom, which screams Loyola to me. And I know, Robert, you had said, well, some of those numbers are inflated because they had guys who went down and got injured. I guess my counterpoint is, like, say they were second in KenPom in January when they had everyone, I would still guess they would have to be, like, 10th in KenPom the rest of the way to level out at fourth. So it still feels like you're playing a pretty loaded team, and hopefully it's just because they're good at playing bad teams and they might struggle when the bright lights are on. But I would love to just hear kind of a breakdown from you guys of what you're expecting against Houston.
My fear with a 5-4, like, there's a chance it could have been like UConn, and I actually think UConn's pretty good. I don't want to bash, like, this is going to sound like I'm like bashing KenPom or something like that. Like, I believe in the numbers, and you're right, like, what they've done efficiency wise and what their defense is over the last, you know, throughout their schedule is impressive, and there's a reason that they have the numbers that they have, and they are a team who's gone deep before. My main thing is just their depth. I feel like you can get away with a five-man team when you're playing East Carolina or whatever their schedule is, but I don't think you can get away with it in the NCAA tournament. I mean, yes, I know coaches will reduce their roster and, you know, suddenly everybody's playing 38 minutes and it's the tournament and who cares and everything else, but you know, an ounce of foul trouble, an ounce of one backup has to come in, and they drop off so quickly, in my mind, just looking at their production, that it's a five-man team, and 1 ounce of one foul trouble or one player being off or one guy shut down by Trent, and they just, you know, it goes away very, very quickly. So that's my encouragement toward Houston. Like, if they still had these other two guys, they would be a legitimate, I don't think they'd be a five seed, and I think they'd be a legitimate threat, and they'd have their top scorer and everything else. When you lose 28 points a game, that's, I don't care who you are, I don't care what team, you lose 28 points a game, you're not the fourth best team in the country or whatever anymore. That would be suggesting that if Houston did have Sasser and the other guy, that they would be like the number one team in the country or something. So I don't know why. I'll probably eat these words and when my Sweet 16 thing doesn't come true, but they, because of their depth issues, it doesn't scare me as much as some of these other teams who have really started to put things together in February, March.
I've only scratched the surface on Houston a little bit, but the one thing that worries me about Houston is that they seem to have perfected the anti-analytic game, where they shoot a lot of ISO contested twos, and they make a lot of ISO contested twos. It's not like they do it once every now and then. They do it very well. And that's the type of game in which we struggle, when teams can break that off the dribble, shoot over the top of us a little bit. We saw it with Penn State, especially recently. That's basically all they did, and they almost pulled it off. So that's the one thing about Houston, is they kind of play a style that we struggled against, and they do it pretty well.
Yeah, I guess what's encouraging is both Houston and Chattanooga don't really have like a big man that's going to stretch Kofi out. Like, and we're all still getting over the Cameron Crutwig PTSD.
You feel that, guys?
They don't have an All-American type player at that position who could cause Kofi problems. But hopefully our drop coverage, which encourages teams to take those mid-range shots, doesn't come back to bite us, because I'm sure over the course of 20 games, those are shots we want them to take, but all they need is a Tyson Walker out there who's hitting mid-range shot after mid-range shot, and then we're kind of in a danger zone. But it is going to be really interesting to see the Kofi trump card, just to see like how teams react to him, because he either is going to dominate or all they're going to try to do is get the ball out of his hands and see how he reacts to the double teams. Fortunately, he's been practicing that all year of being a better passer, but I'm just worried people are watching that Penn State film and are like, okay, we'll just let DeMonte beat us again. And if DeMonte doesn't have a great shooting night, then we're in for a real, like.
But it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have is, say, like, force an All-American big man that no one can guard to beat you, right? It's a good problem to have. But, like, yes, there is tape on how to possibly frustrate and neutralize him.
Yeah, I think Houston's – go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bob.
Well, Houston's entire bench scoring – I just looked it up here. Houston's bench, first – they're sixth man – 3.6 points a game. Their seventh guy, 3.2. Their eighth guy, who plays some but not that many minutes, 3.0 points per game. So these are pain level numbers of their bench guys. Like they aren't part of their offense. They will come in and they'll play some defense. And when they're out there, they're still letting if two starters are sitting. Those two bench guys really just aren't shooting. They're there to play defense, give a breather to the guy, and feed the ball to the other three guys. So I feel like that's the thing that's not sustainable, is that you just have to have, especially in a back-to-back games, you got a Friday-Sunday turnaround. In the second half of that Sunday game, you just have to have some bench production, I feel like. And that's what I think Houston doesn't have.
So we're rooting for triple overtime Houston UAB. Win on Friday. Are you? Yeah,
for Jelly to go off and hit 9 threes. What is it? Jelly Walker?
Jelly Walker. Yeah.
Jelly Walker.
Okay, anyways, now on to Arizona. Now we can break the Arizona game down. I'm just joking. One actual question that I had, though, in general with these, like the Ned and KenPom, is how does a team that went, what was it in quad one? One and four in quad one. Is not in a Power Six conference. How do you rise to, what is it, third in the net, like fourth in KenPom? Shouldn't there be like a ceiling on these things, given your conference, given just the quality of opponents that you've played? I mean, again, I'll run through it real quick. It's 1-4 in quad one. Houston is 10-1 in quad two, which is really good. 10-0 in quad three and 8-0 in quad four. But is it not sort of weighted based off of the level of your competition to a certain extent?
Yeah, I mean, it is, but like, if you beat Virginia by 30, which they did, or you beat Oregon by 29, which they did, or you beat Bryant, who just lost in the NCAA tournament by 67 points, then
what?
You'll see.
They beat them by 67?
They won 111-44. And
yeah, my guess would be that they in those 10 quad two wins, they racked up some serious efficiency stats in those quad two wins that they did win. They probably made a lot of money on those.
And that's when they had Sess.
Yes.
And what's his name? I gotta find that. I gotta stop saying Sasser and what's his name. I gotta respect the kid, the other kid who's injured. We'll look it up here.
Okay, so the teams that they do play, that they did play when they had those opportunities, they throttled them, I'm hearing, which even if it's not a top... What is it? Quad one at home. It's top.
It's top 30 at home. Top 75.
So even if it's not a top 35 or 75, like still quality opponents that they're throttling at times on their opponent's court.
Yeah, and I guess that's the confusing part, because maybe back then they did have depth where they could continue to run up the score, because that's when you're like, oh, they don't have any depth. How are they running the score up on teams? Well, I guess they seem to be doing that. One thing that also makes me a little fearful is they beat this one team in their conference three times by the name of Cincinnati.
Oh,
that's not how we know that's not how this works. That's
I know it's not valid. But I'm just saying, like, they beat them by 20 multiple times. Like, it doesn't give me great feeling. I hate to be negative Nancy over here, but
I do find the psychology of this, like, so fascinating, because I'm sure Houston, even though they don't like compartmentalize opponents like quad one, quad two, the players, like, I think they know that four of their five losses have come against quad one teams or really good teams. So I think, like, in a single elimination tournament like this, it's just so fascinating to me from a psychological standpoint to kind of see if, like, they go down early and they sort of get that feeling of, like, this is the one thing we've struggled with this year. Kind of like us when Kofi is struggling, then it's like, wow, that like they're slowing down Kofi. I think that's always just a fascinating thing to see how people respond in this kind of situation.
Yeah, and also,
go ahead, Tyler.
Just real quick on the Cincinnati thing. Coach Henson always used to say, and he's not the only one that said this, but in every college basketball season, there's going to be one or two games on either side of the ledger where you don't have any control over. There are a couple days where no matter what you do, you're just going to kick ass, and God help the team you're playing. For us, that was Rutgers for sure. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the coin, you're going to have a game where you know nothing you do is going to work, and that's the Cincinnati game. So I don't know if I play the transitive property on the Cincinnati Houston Illinois triangle there, but
there was a junior college this year that can connect its dots somewhere to end up beating Gonzaga because someone beat St. Mary's and then someone beat the team that played St. Mary's, but we have a junior college doing that. So I'm never in the transitive property game. We beat Wisconsin by what, 16? This Houston lost to Wisconsin by 2. So there's your transitive property going the other way.
We beat Wisconsin. We beat them by 14, but it was because of playing
13,
dribbled out the shot clock.
And then they hit that three at the buzzer. So we were up 16, and then they hit an uncontested.
We were up 16.
Right. Yeah.
But we were up more than that. Weren't we up like 19, and then they scored, and then we just dribbled out the shot clock, and then they scored or something like that. Anyway, we don't have to relitigate.
Speaking of Big Ten teams, just to put a little wrench into this podcast right here, all six of us are on the same page. But the fact that I need to pull up the results of this poll, we set out a poll on our Twitter account saying,
"Go Fighting Irish, baby." Nice.
Saying, are you rooting for Big Ten teams? Are you a go Big Ten go type of fan during the tournament? Or are you a, I only care about Illinois. The rest of the Big Ten teams can go to hell. And 73% of the Illini fan base said, go Big Ten, go. How absurd is that?
It's absurd.
I'm going to let Robert take this.
It's absurd.
I'm going to let Tyler speak first, and then I'll speak.
he said his rage build.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I'm on Team Robert here. I just don't get it. I mean, the logic I hear is, well, I don't have any impact. My rooting interest doesn't have any impact on the game, so why should I care who I root for? I mean, how can you be a sports fan, not watch a game and somehow develop a rooting interest in the moment? And I don't understand how I would ever want any other Big Ten team's fan base to be happier than I am in that moment.
Exactly.
And so that's just where it comes from. And, you know, I'm watching Rutgers at Notre Dame, and I don't have that same degree of hatred for Rutgers. So, this one doesn't bother me so much one way or the other. But anyone else, I mean, yeah, I just can't fathom that mindset.
The thing is, all these schools get to promote that they went to this Sweet 16, this Elite Eight, this Final Four, National Championship, and then they get to recruit their players and like show them all their little trophies that they win. Why would we want them to get even close to winning any of these trophies whatsoever?
Right. I think Twitter has broken a lot of people's brains in this way, in that like people take it so personally when some Kentucky SEC fans like, oh, well, you're in the Big Ten and this and that. And they're like, oh, well, like I take it personally that you're saying
it's like the
bad
SEC
things.
Chance.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah. Like other conferences think that matters to us. And maybe some people are just prone to get really upset and defensive. My only other maybe defense of those people who voted in the polls is like, right now, Illinois is still in it. And when eventually, if your team loses, you go full scorched earth. We were the only excitement we got out of that tournament last year was seeing Iowa lose the next day. Like that was the only thing that made us happy. And the rest of it, we're just like, fuck the Big Ten.
It's about validation too. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I don't know. I'm excited to hear what Robert's going to say about this because I think he's going to go full scorched earth. But I could see if you're Ohio State football, like if you're an Ohio State football fan and you're making the playoffs like year after year after year, I could see it if you're like, oh, look at Illinois and their little like 6-win bowl game. Like good for them. Go get Big Brother more TV money. Like go Illinois in the heart of Dallas Bowl. I could see them rooting on Illinois. Any other situation than that, I cannot wrap my mind around it. And I know, Robert, I know you're seething on this.
Tyler, how many how many subscribers can I lose? Let's should we shoot for a 15 subscriber bailout rant, or should I try to limit it to 5 subscribers?
No, bring the fire.
The big one.
You want to know what it is? You want to freaking know what it is? Here is what it is. God, this makes me so angry. Okay. Breathe.
He's stretching.
What it is, at its core, is, and it has only gotten worse. God, I'm going to cough because it.
Are you feeling better, Robert, by the way? Are you feeling better?
He's choking on his own bile.
Are you feeling better, Robert?
He's choking on his own bile.
Yeah, that's right. Are you good? Wait, do I have bile anymore? I had my gallbladder removed like 5 years ago. Does that still make bile? What happens? The liver makes bile. The liver makes bile. And then I don't have a gallbladder, so it just goes straight in. Okay. God bless it. I just put that on the internet. Okay, here we go. You ready? I took the glasses off. What it is a way to fan and still have a little investment and get the feeling of go team they want. As we've lost and lost and lost. Like, look, you guys, I don't know what year it was in school for you, where we went 0-9 in the Big Ten and then 4-14 in basketball.
Yep.
So we had 4 total Big Ten wins the entire year.
Senior year.
What was it, 17-18?
Yep, yeah. 18.
Four entire Big Ten wins from September to March. And, you know, when you have a fan base like that and then the tournament comes around, it's kind of like, you know what? Okay, go Michigan. Yeah, I hope Michigan looks really good. Like you get a tiny little bit of fandom. Like, oh, it's okay for me to feel like this. It's okay for me. I hated Michigan back then, but it's okay for me to want them to make the Final Four because those are my guys and they're beating the other guys. So I'll just kind of hang on. I'll just kind of put my hand on the edge of the bandwagon. I'll just hang on for a little bit and I'll tap into some of those good things. Hey, the team won. The team is going to the Final Four. Go Big Ten. And you know, it's just a way to make yourself feel a little better when your team sucks. I believe in fandom where when your team sucks, you lean into it and you're depressed. And I just wish I had a picture of Carmen and I at a Subway somewhere outside of Indianapolis after the Loyola game last year, just sitting in silence on an outdoor bench at a Subway eating because we hadn't eaten all day because we were too nervous to eat before the game. And just living in the pain and the disgust of, my God, we didn't even make the Sweet 16. Like, that is fandom to me. And when people don't like that and they don't like those bad feelings, they're like, oh, I hope Iowa gets there. I usually hate Iowa. So my big thing with this has always been thresholds, right? Like, people have this, like, oh, I would never pull the big, you know, I screw Ohio State, but I'll cheer for everybody else. I grew up over here. I can't do it for Iowa or Indiana, but for everybody else, I'll cheer. Look, that's just you drawing a line, a threshold that doesn't exist. For me, it's every Big Ten team. Yes, my feelings are stronger for Iowa, and my hatred is stronger than it is when, like, if Nebraska basketball makes the tournament. I don't get nervous that Nebraska basketball might win like I do Iowa. Like, I won't even check the Iowa score. I don't even know when they're playing, but I won't even check the score because I just want to be able to check later to see that they lost. I probably don't do that with Nebraska, so there's a level to it. But you cannot – I just don't believe in a system where you can draw a line and, like, I'll cheer for these teams but not for these teams. We – love no other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of written there.
Because we love no other, you cannot cheer for any other Big Ten team in the tournament.
You got your wave
You're
right
just
there.
Trying to make yourself feel better by having a third level of, well, I also pull for the Big Ten. And, you know, I'm a, for the ACC, I'm a North Carolina fan. And then I'm also a UCLA.
Go Yankees.
No. We love no other. The end.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Except when you root for claps around.
Glasses go back on, taking a sip of the
power
drink.
You root for Purdue when they need to beat Wisconsin, and you call yourselves the hoy boardroom when you need to root from Nebraska. Those are the only exceptions.
Good point.
Yeah, well, it's way different.
It helps.
Big Ten team to Big Ten
team.
Like, yeah. And even at the start of the college football season, we're like, okay, Ohio State's playing Minnesota. Go Ohio State. We need Big Ten West teams to lose. Like, that's way different than saying I'm rooting for your championship opportunity to increase by potentially winning.
Yay, Big Ten.
Yeah,
it's such a foreign thought process.
It's so weird.
I kind of want to go through these comments. They're so bad. I'm not going to go through them. They're so bad.
It's so strange. I'm glad that we're all on the same page on this. I know the four of us sometimes. Like, we disagreed on some of the things here, like with the seeding and the tournament that we talked about in our last podcast, but I think we are all very much so on the same page here of, like, there's no wiggle room in this. There is absolutely no wiggle room here.
Tyler, I'm curious, in 1989, like, how much were you guys rooting against Michigan?
You can't even imagine. First of all, I didn't watch. I wasn't going to watch that, but, I just walked away. There was no internet then, so I didn't even find out that Michigan won until Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine the hatred over those 33 years that you have towards Michigan. Like,
you don't know how crystallized that 1 second of Nick giving up that rebound. Oh, how I could just, how it's so crystallized in my brain that 1 second duration of basketball play, how it's just. To this minute, I can visualize it, and I'm immediately in an angered state.
And yeah, it's funny, we talk or a lot of in college basketball discourse was about the Coach K retiring, making that whole thing, and I don't know, everyone's kind of getting their shots in, even a lot of Illini fans, which to me I thought was interesting. As a kid in the 2000s, I kind of liked Duke, just because I was able to channel my hatred for UNC towards, like, anytime Duke would play them, I'm like, let's go Duke. So it's interesting to see Illinois fans maybe then also hating on Coach K. But at the same time, 2004, we lose to Duke in the Sweet 16. So screw both of those schools. But like, for me, I still have, like, PTSD with UNC.
The fundamental fan argument is banners. So look at the banners we have. So why would I ever root for another team to hang a banner? It's just boring.
Yeah, and that's the only other reason why I like Duke, is because in 2015 they beat Wisconsin to prevent them from having a national title. Like,
that was a close one.
Thank you for doing our bidding there.
Right, but, like the comments about, the Big Ten hasn't won a natty, what was it,
0-1?
Like, we need to get the Big Ten another national championship again.
Don't care.
Like, no, we do if it's Illinois, but we don't need to get the Scarlet Knights here in the national championship game again. You know, like, no.
I'm so happy that all of those other teams have droughts that they can't win.
Right, that's fantastic.
I get into that debate during bowl season. Like, people always have this thing of like, well, you want, like, what do you want? Like a 0-9 Big Ten bowl season? Well, then the recruits won't come to the Big Ten. Great.
Sweet.
Freaking amazing. We're gonna win more games now. Yeah. Like, I don't get like, oh well, what if the Big Ten is the MAC? Oh,
some of us have been watching some of that.
Since we've started school, I mean, there's like almost no one in football or basketball who benefits more from other Big Ten teams being bad than Illinois.
And Illinois football.
And Illinois basketball. Yeah. Like,
no, but some people would rather see Iowa have a 9-win Iowa team get their 10th win and say, oh, we have another double-digit winning season. Like, what?
My mom asked me who I was rooting for between Iowa and Purdue, and I said, like, a fire drill. Like, the building to be evacuated.
Yeah.
Meteor.
Meteor.
Right.
Yes. Oh,
my goodness. Okay, so we're all on the same page here.
So there's that.
Although, I guess last year we couldn't even root for, like, a COVID pause for a team because that ended up screwing us over. But
we're better.
We're here for a COVID-free tournament. I think we're all rooting for that. But so, Robert, you're in the South right now, right? Like, you are deep in. You're in Pittsburgh. Tyler, are you as well in the South right now? No, you're
no, sir, I'm at home.
In the Midwest. So, Robert, because I know...
Wait, did you say Pittsburgh's in the South?
Yes. Yeah, no, I know what he's doing. Pittsburgh's in the, you're in the South right now, correct?
South region, baby.
You're in the South, right?
Oh, I see.
Yes, deep into the South there. Yeah. I mean, you've already been picking up the accent there. The Yinzers,
Maddie,
they call
it? Maddie, it doesn't work like that anymore. San Diego could be Midwest now. It used to work like that. It doesn't work like that anymore.
But you are technically south of Pittsburgh right now, yes?
Well, it's a good point. It's a good point. Well, I'm in the middle of Ohio. I decided late today to drive half of it today and half of it tomorrow because I want to go to the open practice. And if I would have left in the morning, I would have had to leave at like 4:15 or something like that. So I decided to drive about 4 hours tonight. So I'm in the middle of somewhere in below Ohio.
Yeah, obviously I'm somewhat familiar with American geography. I'm just throwing the joke out there of yes, in the South region.
Yes.
Your plan, Robert, is credential and sit media, or you're not sitting.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my job. I might wear the shirt underneath just in case I can't do it.
That's my go. I told you that's what you have to start doing. I don't know why. That's my standard operating procedure. I always have an orange or a blue Alani shirt underneath whatever I'm wearing when I'm on press. That's just standard operating procedure.
Yeah. Yeah. I would do it most every game if I knew it wasn't like, you know, say that they align me with a decent media seat. I don't even know what they'll be doing or who even says that, but I always feel bad of like, say somebody got stuck up in like a higher press box and I got a seat lower down somewhere or something like that. And then I just get up and wander around and want to go cheer with the fans. Well, then they should have given that spot to somebody else. So that's why I always hesitate to go switch to what I call emergency mode. But if I can't do it this weekend, then when I go to San Antonio, I'm just going to get tickets and do it that way. I'm just going to see how it goes and see if I can suppress the fan feelings. And if I can't, I'm just going to wander over to the stands.
I love it. It's like the crush when they go to the away game and they just pull off the shirt and like, surprise, mm-hmm. I'm not mm-hmm. impartial.
Oh, Robert,
very interesting. Go ahead.
If you came to a national championship, I would expect you to rip that shirt off on Brad. I'm done. I've reached the pinnacle of my career.
I was reading through the COVID things today. And so the rule for this one is press who get front row have to wear masks, but anybody who is not front row does not have to wear a mask. So I think it's like maybe that row, maybe they're doing the press row that's like right next to the court where you look at the laptop screen, something like the Missouri thing. So I guess if you're seated there, then you have to wear a mask, but anywhere else you don't. But Friday is my day 11 after my positive test. So CDC wise, I don't have to wear a mask anymore unless I'm in that front room.
Gotcha.
I think what I learned over this last month is that I need to plan my work schedule better when we are good, because I'm not in Pittsburgh, and I don't know if we would have been able to gather three credentials, but considering the multiple credentials that other sites got, I think we probably would have. And so now I'm deeply kicking myself for not being in the Below Ohio hotel room with Robert right now.
Yeah.
I need to do the thing where it's actually a John Orotstein motto, not plan vacations during the third weekend in March.
Oh gosh.
Because my flight
you're saying that you sleep in May.
I sleep in May, but my flight on Friday is at 5:00.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I can't really complain that much because I'm going to Paris.
Paris, Illinois, right? The south of
Paris, Illinois.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't plan that well.
Yeah, well, pray for them.
Leave O'Hare at 5:00.
Yep. So I've looked into it. I can buy some service. The worst I can do is listen to the radio, I think.
Yes.
You would have that DirecTV with 30 channels or something?
An international flight's not going to have that. DirecTV is my assumption. And then most Wi-Fi packages block streaming as much as they can.
They do. Especially when you leave the country, too, right?
Yeah. So the goal is to listen.
Beautiful voice of Brian Barnhart. Yeah.
That's not a bad option.
Tyler and I have all kinds of stories about this. Like during the Maryland game in 20, I was in Puerto Rico and I just could not get the TV feed in any way.
I remember that.
Where I was at in Puerto Rico, he was covering the game. So we're trying to text and communicate. And I ended up finding that radio feed, kind of like listen online to some radio station that had it. So I sat by the beach and listened to Barnhart in the game for that one. And then you were what? 2 weeks later, you were what?
Yeah, I was in Grand. It was the same year. It was Grand Cayman. And I literally walked up and down this beach road and found the one sports bar near the beach that had ESPN available. And I watched the Ohio State loss when you and Carmen were there in Grand Cayman. So
this that reminds... was
a great, after trying to follow the Indiana game that Sunday on ESPN app, and it locked up with 30 seconds left. And this was like, it went from whatever the game was at one point. I think we were up three or up whatever. And then 30 minutes later, final score. So I missed all of the details. That's what I had to find an actual bar to watch the game.
I tried to watch Marquette this year from an airplane. I was flying back from Idaho, I believe. Did I go to Idaho? Where did I go? Yes. I went to visit my son and his wife in Idaho. So we were flying Boise to Denver and then Denver here. So that Boise to Denver flight, I tried to, I think I got it for like a brief second. Was it on FS1, I think, that game?
The Marquette game? I think so.
Yeah. So I got, I was on Southwest and through their Wi-Fi. They weren't blocking that. So I could get it a couple pockets, but like it was very, very frustrating. I ended up just trying to follow the score tracker. And then when we got to the Denver airport, I watched the last 10 minutes, which was the worst possible basketball to watch of the entire year. So Josh, all that to say, I think you're radio or maybe nothing else.
I was able to watch the Virginia game, the football game earlier this year by plane, like through a stream, but yeah, I'm not confident in an international flight, but regardless, I think the radio is probably my best move here.
I think I'd be more focused on what your Sunday plans are going to be, trying to figure that out. Like, some sort of scouting like I did in Grand Cayman to find a spot.
Yeah, I'll bring, like, if I'm bringing, like, an iPad or a laptop, I'll just have it right in front of, like, the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, so, yeah, when you perfect. Say Sunday plans, I thought you're, like, the Louvre and then, you know, dinner on the on the river.
My laptop in front of the Eiffel Tower Illinois beat Houston.
Yes.
Hold it up in front of the Mona Lisa.
At 4 in the morning Paris time.
That's unbelievable.
I'm pretty sure it's 2:30. I'm pretty sure it's 2:30 Eastern. We've done our research.
Wait a minute. You've done your research as to when this game is going to be?
The Sunday one, because the Sunday game, the session starts at noon Eastern, and it's probably going to be the winner of Loyola, Ohio State, Villanova being first because those games are earlier in the day, and then 30
on
minutes
Friday, they're earlier in the day.
Yeah, those games are earlier in the day, Friday. Okay. So
good. Breaking likely, news, 2:30.
What are the odds, though? Like, this is getting really technical, and maybe it's because I'm landing somewhere at 2:30 on Sunday. But
oh, my God. Is anyone going to be here for the tournament?
Well,
God damn it.
I'll be on the ground. But, like, I feel like they have to know, like, a tournament game isn't going to be, like, 2 hours on the dot, and then 30 minutes later, they're starting the next game. I don't know, moot point, but I think...
You going anywhere, Johnny?
I'm trying to drive to Pittsburgh on Saturday,
yeah, okay,
but...
I'll be here. I'll be in Chicago.
Holding down in the fort. But, I mean, that's what I was saying. It would be a great appetizer to see either Loyola lose right before Illinois, maybe just, like, repent some of those sins, Sister Jean, or maybe another Big Ten team who we root against to lose... I'm feeling that was a good appetizer. Now let's demolish a mid-major team.
70% of our viewers though won't be happy. Yeah, that Ohio State lost to Loyola.
Yes,
so.
Right.
And that's one thing that I was going to ask you guys though. Like, I'm talking about driving 7 hours to go to Pittsburgh, Robert. You're in the middle of it, and then looking.
Do it.
Oh no, definitely going to do it. But I'm staring also down the barrel eventually at San Antonio, which would be a great problem to have. How are you guys feeling just about the regional that we were given in terms of we didn't get Milwaukee or Indy, and now we're in San Antonio? That was one of our first gripes with the how the selection process went was not only do we feel like we don't love who we're playing second round, but we also do not have great locations.
I have a horrible take. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Kind of like, I know Chicago would have helped us fan wise, but because this is the NCAA tournament, I kind of didn't want to be in Chicago. Oh.
We're only good in Rosemont in the NCAA tournament.
I mean, in a sense, yeah. Like, I can't really explain it other than, like, the locations of a lot of these games are part of the memories for me. And I know that 2005 is the thing everybody references, and we didn't, what, we weren't more than 250 miles from campus or whatever, and that was helpful, and our fans traveled like crazy, and I get all of that. That's to me is one topic. The other topic is if you can't have like a route of like Indy, Chicago, St. Louis, like it was or whatever, then I don't mind the
randomness.
Yeah. Yeah. The randomness of San Antonio. And isn't that where we played Arizona?
Yes. Frank Williams' son comes back for revenge in the same city.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. These, you could not write a Hollywood script.
How many Remember the Alamo articles will there be if we're doing that? So because I like that kind of randomness. What was it? Minneapolis for the Sweet 16 in 89, Tyler?
Where did we beat
Syracuse? In Minneapolis, in the dome,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, in the old Metrodome.
In the old Metrodome, and the lighting was so weird; it looked like you were watching an outside game when you turned it on TV. And it was so like all of that is part of the NCAA tournament to me. So like, oh look, a game in the United Center. While it would have been helpful for us and neat, I don't mind the. Having a place that I can remember where we went and won and got, you know, I had some big upset over Arizona or something like that. I don't mind being in San Antonio. It's helpful to have a lot of fans there. And obviously the example is Rosemont and what it was like during that comeback in 05. So that's helpful for us. So I know it's stupid to say like, oh, I don't want to be in Chicago. But I don't mind being other places where parts of the fan base can travel and it's part of the experience. And if you're good enough, you're going to go do it and you're going to slay the Giants somewhere. So I don't hate it. I don't hate that take at all.
I like that a lot, actually. Yeah, that's great. So Johnny will be in all of those cities.
Yeah, well, yeah, Robert, how are you getting to San Antonio? I'm kind of looking at that Texas Eagle 34-hour train. Are you looking at it?
Yep.
Tuesday?
Heck yes,
okay.
I am.
All right, seat 7B.
All right, yeah, I guess I'll see you when they stop in Champaign.
Take me over to Bloomington. I hop over on in Bloomington, and I head south from there.
He is the same man.
It's only like... 260 round trip is what I'm seeing right now. That's
priceless when you think about what you're trying to get. Okay, let me
Johnny, what you need to do is you need to get on the phone with Carmen or just text him and say and just drop little hints like what you're not going. You know,
I could totally
you know, like him. Big fans show and he'll wake up tomorrow morning and text you at 6:30. He's like, screw it, I'm going. I don't care. I'm going.
So is he currently not?
I don't think he is. I don't know. I don't think he's going to go. He was trying to find on another text chain I'm on. He's trying to find somebody to go with him.
And this is
right
to
now,
Pittsburgh.
I'm not sure he is. Yes, to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, might have to be in contact with Carmen.
Oh my gosh. So while you guys figure out logistics, do you guys have any other questions? I have a good like wrap-up question, a good final question if we want to throw that out there, but I want to make sure that everyone's needs have been like satiated and we're feeling kind of good. You know, how many hours do we have and what time is it now? We've got, I mean, less than, oh my gosh, it's soon. Okay, final question. It's intentionally sort of fill in the blank. You can kind of take this wherever you want. It is a successful tournament for the University of Illinois if, and I'm just going to leave it at that. You go a lot of different ways with this one.
It's funny, you can go a lot of different ways, but I think we all have the exact same answer.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think
there's any doubt that
little 3-2-1, yeah.
Belong to 3-2-1 Sweet 16.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I kind of thought Johnny was going to say championship.
Yeah.
There was a little, initially when Johnny said it, yeah, successes were winning it all. Total failure.
No, the
3-2-1. First four.
The success of what Brad Underwood said in his first year.
Sweet 16 is the boss. Yeah. None of you know the winning.
It's got to be Sweet 16.
That Sweet 16 banner effectively and proudly closed the book on the Trent, DeMonte, Io, and Kofi era. You'd have a Big Ten championship tournament banner. I mean, if you had a Big Ten tournament banner, a Big Ten championship banner, and a Sweet 16 banner. Anything else beyond that's gravy. That to me is a fair representation and a successful wrap up of these last 4 years, three and a half, four years.
Oh God, now I'm nervous again. I'll just all of a sudden, just you saying that, there's so much pressure on these two games.
Yeah.
Like my nerves when you just saying that, because you're absolutely right. And the truth behind that statement makes my anxiety. I just went from a 2.6 to a 9.3.
I'm just gonna have to re-listen to like the beginning part of the episode where we hear Tyler just discuss how confident he is, because once he started to say how confident he was in the first off the Chattanooga game, but then also like kind of you as well, Robert, going through how you are looking at Houston, like I just got beyond confident. And I like kind of not expect, but like I'm like, all right, we at least have the advantage. Someone did say, and we're not going to be favored against Houston if we do play them, which is totally fine. But you guys have made me confident in that game as well. So I'm going to just disregard the truth statement that Tyler just had about the perfect bow on the last 4 years and just think about the beginning part.
That was beautiful. Yeah, because right now I've just gone to, like, this is everything. This is
dark place.
Like what happens in the next 4 days determines
the legacy.
I don't even want to put words to it. Yes, there's a legacy at stake, and I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it really, I remember saying this after the Loyola loss, but it was like, we don't know how much this is going to, how important it's going to be until the next few years play out to say like, oh, at the end of the day, that was just our getting our feet wet in the tournament, or we squandered this massive opportunity. And hopefully it's the feet wet and everything, the bow ties with Loyola being in Pittsburgh when we're getting ready to go to the Sweet 16, but it's definitely crazy. And
this made me nervous.
Yeah,
I don't know if that made me feel better than when we started.
Wait, also, have you guys filled out brackets? That's one of my favorite things about Carmen, is that he only fills out a bracket when Illinois is in the tournament. I'm curious, Robert and Tyler, have you guys filled one out yet?
I have filled one out, yes.
I've not done one. I do a stream of consciousness bracket literally 5 minutes before the first game tomorrow morning.
I like that.
It takes me. I do it in 5 minutes.
I like it. There's no need to overthink. I like it. There's no need to overthink it. Robert, you did one too, though.
Yep. I did, and I did this thing last year where I did one bracket and I had us wing it all because I would have hated myself if we won it all and I didn't predict it.
Yes.
So this year I went the other way and I just have us. I only have us beating Arizona and getting such a negative norm.
So wait, and losing to Tennessee or who?
Yes, lose. No, okay. Losing to Nova.
Ah, okay.
I had Nova beating. I had Villanova beating Tennessee.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting.
You think Colin Gillespie is scoring that much on Trent? Come on.
That's a good point. That's a good, very, very, very good point.
Nah, Johnny, they have experience in that building. They won a national championship there.
In San Antonio?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, Jalen Brunson's not coming out for them. That's all I'm going to say.
Gillespie was on the bench, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you sure like know a lot about that.
Yeah, that's a lot about. Yeah. You know a lot about
stop
college basketball.
Can we just get the Stevenson High School?
I'm
only talking about Gillespie. Didn't even bring up Brunson.
All
come
right,
on,
Josh. Okay, so I think this was helpful. I think we're feeling a little nervous, but I think we're feeling good ultimately. Thanks, guys, for joining. Hopefully, we get to talk to you like several more times this season in a happier fashion than we did towards the end of our season last year. But the countdown is on. We are in the witching hour here before the tournament starts. Great time of year. So we will catch you in the next episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Boardroom.
Finish it off, Tyler. I was just going to say, no, we're going to wait on that. I just want to say, Robert, I want you to ease those fears. I want you to catch the Underwood vibe. Let it fly. ILL.
Let it fly. I like it. I and I.